everywhere black. The ocean and sand are without color except for where we stand. We move forward, water lapping at our knees and rolling over exposed rock. I glance up. Ah, more light. Real light. A million white eyes that never blink, even at day. For whatever I'm doing here, I ask mercy of the night. Glenn raises a hand and whispers, come closer, babe. I think I see something. Okay, hold it. That's good. I sway back and forth, hoping the vanna and sharp coral won't cut through the tattered soles of my Nikes. I wiggle my toes. I wiggle my heels. Sand. I stare at my bare legs and arms. Goosebumps. Hold still, Glenn says. He raises his spear and plunges it downward like Thor throwing a lightning bolt. I feel, rather than hear, a crunch near my foot. I take two shaky steps back, wave the net, and snarl, you almost hit my foot, you just missed it by, all right, Glenn cries. He laughs as he stares past the widening ripples. I got it! Woo-hoo! Taco and poi tomorrow, taco and poi. He lifts the spear, then frowns at the brown lump impaled on it. What is that stuff, Glenn? Man, it's oozing blood. Watch it, my boyfriend says. He points to my hands. Don't drop it. Don't get it wet. I know, I know. I raise the lantern past my head and our shadows lengthen. Glenn slides the shriveled thing from the spear. Sea cucumber, he mutters, tossing it past the circle of light. Come on, let's go further out. I'd rather go further in. Like back to the dry Subaru? Back to my warm apartment, back to a hot shower, back in a place with lamps and a stereo and a pair of sweatpants. Instead, I walk beside Glenn and try not to bang my knees against the rocks. My hair was already curled and I was ironing a dress when Glenn phoned earlier this evening. He was supposed to take me to Spats, but he said, according to his tied calendar, damn, I thought, I knew I shouldn't have given it to him for Christmas. According to the calendar, tonight was a good night for torch fishing. And would I mind if we did that instead of going Spats? We'll celebrate your birthday tomorrow, he said. More than anything, I wanted to say, no way, Glenn! I ain't into sloshing after morays. But he was saying something about perfect conditions and how all I do was hold the light or maybe a net and how I get the hang of it because it wasn't that hard. That's what he said. Well, whatever this Coleman burns, it's giving me a headache. And my eyes hurt. And what are these pointy things that keep jabbing my legs? We've been here for at least an hour. Maybe if we head back to shore now, we can make it to Spats. The shore is, it is, I glance left, right, left. The shore is there. That must be it, where the irregular string of lights are. Doesn't Glenn realize how far we've walked? Walked? More like stumbled. I'm not accustomed to sinking from knee-high to chest-deep water within a matter of one or two steps. Tricky, tricky the depth of these holes. 6 inches equals 1 foot. God, the stillness. Could this really be the same beach where sunbathers and families congregate during the day? What happens to the jabber when the sun sets? Where are the swaggering hard bodies, the confident lifeguards, and intense frisbee flingers? Earlier, he paused mid-step, lowered his face to the water. Bring the light real close, he whispered. I think it's an eel. Looks like some kind of dark eel against the sand there. He plunged the spear forward, thump, and his eyes widened, happy green eyes. It hardly moved. I got it. I got it. I said when he lifted his catch. Some eel from the Schwinn family, I suppose. He pulled the inner tube off the prongs and shrugged. Can't see everything clearly without perfect light. We stumble on. I learn to dig the toe of my shoes into small holes. Press my foot over the contours of the rocks. I slip once or twice, landing on my okole, without dunking the lantern. Good job, Glenn says. You're getting the hang of it. I ask him about the silvery blue fish that keep poking my legs. And what are these things skimming over the water? Needlefish, Glenn says. They're okay. Won't gore through your legs. He swishes the net back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes he scoops up rocks, bottles, palm fronds, part of a hibachi. But sometimes the net lives. Baby veke, tang, Spanish dancer, puffer, Moorish idol, and now a spotted cowfish that sits in my palms. It is smooth, hard, and boxy. I hold it against my ear and stare at Glenn. Sounds like it's crying, I say. It's making these high beeps. He takes the fish and strokes its sides, taps the horn, pretends to kiss its lips. These make neat pets, he says. If I had a fish tank, I'd keep one. We talk about nothing, about everything. He tells me he can see through the white shorts and that the needlefish left small red dots on my thighs. He says I look better without eyeshadow, and my hair looks nice when it's curled. And why did I wear opal earrings to go torch fishing? He slaps the water. God, he says, I never saw such perfect conditions as tonight. But you didn't catch anything, Glenn. Except a sea cucumber in the inner tube from some kid's bike. He nudges me lightly with his spear and says, I just caught a 2-ton whale. A whale in short shorts. It's about 11, Glenn says. Let's go, tide's coming in. I'm tempted to ask him to put out the light. I want to know what it's like to be a complete foreigner in this element I know well. I thought I knew well. Tonight was different. Not fun, but different. Kind of like walking into church during mid-prayer. Glenn puts an arm around my waist and says, tomorrow we'll stay as long as you want at Spats. I nod absentmindedly. There must be at least 5 pounds of sand in each shoe. And boy, that was a cute cowfish. And the way the lantern hovers over the water out there makes me think of the times we'd go camping and we'd be the only light on the mountain for miles. Maybe Glenn will buy me some rubber tobbies for my birthday. Either that or a wetsuit and my own net.